Hey guys, it's Dr. Ryan here, and we're here with Go Live Wednesday, and we are talking about facelifting and whatever other questions you guys are asking out there. There have been a lot of different questions kind of that surround facelifting and the different procedures. There are a lot of different marketed techniques that go into facelifting, and most of the popular things you hear about regarding facelifting and some of the kind of cheats or hacks to facelifting are big marketing pushes for certain products. So we're going to get to everything, but I'll let my staff start out with setting up those questions.
Who is a good candidate for a facelift?
That's a great question. So a lot of people have been asking about the relative indication of a true facelift versus what you see us posting a lot. What a lot of people are interested in, the aesthetic facial balance and kind of component of what I do, which is redistributing volume to make people look their best. So in my opinion, I move straight towards a facelift when patients have a lot of neck laxity and facial laxity. So minimal neck laxity can be taken up with some volumizing techniques, like what I've done to my own face, what we call aesthetic facial balancing, filling up the cheeks and sculpting the jawline, and some non-invasive skin tightening that I do. I combine a bunch of technologies, including Cyton Skin Tight, some infrared light-based technology, radio frequency, and other things to tighten up the skin. But the effects of that are very, very limited. So you can't take a heavy neck and treat it that way. You can't take a heavy neck and pick it up with the jawline. So that's how I determine who really needs a facelift or not. It's primarily the neck heaviness, and secondarily, how heavy is the face. If there's just tons of skin, heavy skin, the patient's not going to be a good patient for a facelift. We have a couple facelifts back here for examples. This patient had already been treated with some filler to lift up and kind of got maximized on the filler component, but you can see there's a lot of heaviness down here that she's no longer really depleted up high. And if I was going to use pure volume to address this face, we would have a balloon face, or what people call a filler face. So in this patient, I performed my preferred facelift technique, which we'll get into, I think, in a little bit, a deep plane composite facelift where I go and lift up the ligaments of the skin, resupport them, and get that nice naturally elevated contour of the face. You can see that all this heavy skin is gone, her neckline is cleaned up, and really to achieve that with a lesser procedure, whether it's a mini lift or threads or the things we're going to talk about, it's just not really possible.
Is thread lifting a good option to avoid a facelift?
So, in my opinion, there aren't really many great indications for a thread lift. So to understand why, you have to understand what thread lifts have been through in the kind of evolution of thread lifting. There's been, for countless time, really, attempts to get facelift kind of results without facelift. There's been grappling devices like an endotine, an absorbable hook. There have been all kinds of different suture-based devices, including barbed sutures that started coming out about a decade ago. So the idea of a barbed suture or a barbed thread lift is you have these opposing barbs that one side captures tissue, the other side anchors tissue, and you can lift things up. Well, that's great in principle, but imagine I want to tighten here to here. Where's the excess skin going to go? So the skin has to go somewhere. So then people started doing thread lifts with skin excisions, which doesn't make a lot of sense to a well-trained plastic surgeon, because you're going to make a facelift scar and not perform a facelift and put it in more foreign bodies. So that was going on for a little bit. But what tends to happen with thread lifting is they get really popular, really marketed, and then a lot of complications arise. Granulomas, asymmetries, strange-looking faces. They disappear and then reappear. The latest iterations have, again, barbed sutures, cones, or knots to kind of grab tissue. They don't work really well. There's not a lot of pull you can get out of them. And so what a lot of companies have done is they've kind of reinvented thread lifting, that it's not necessarily pulling, but, quote, volumizing. to me, this doesn't make sense. So the idea is the practice or doctor is going to sell you by the thread, thread intervention with a smooth thread that doesn't grab or pull, but just laying threads in underneath the skin with the idea of creating collagen and volumizing. Well, when I'm thinking about this, a thread is not a moldable thing. A thread is not something you can change the shape of, and it's a tiny, tiny bit of volume. Threads, or sutures is what we call them as surgeons, we use all the time. And they all cause some inflammation and some scarring, which we don't consider a positive when we're doing surgery, but in the facial aesthetics, we're trying to consider it a positive, which doesn't make a lot of sense. But going back to the basic goals of modern thread lifting, most people are scared of the pulling because we kind of agree that looks weird, with one exception, straight up jawline. Sometimes you can get it to look good if you can tolerate some bunching of the skin back here, which my patients really won't tolerate. But thread lifting today is mostly smooth threads with the idea of building up volume, and they're placing just kind of a blanket across the face, which cannot give you the focal custom design volumization that I like to do all the time with aesthetic facial balancing. People are depleted usually up high in the face, so putting threads down here is not going to rejuvenate them. So the short answer, I've kind of gone off in tangents, and we'll get back to thread lifting, I think, with other questions, is that there are much better ways to volumize the face. If you want to volumize the face, like hyaluronic acid-based fillers, where you can put as much or as little as you want in all the right places instead of a thread. And if you're using a thread to kind of pull on the face, I've scoured the internet personally. I have not found a single result of a thread-only lift that looks good in any way. So if I go to the internet, and even if I go to like the company pages and we look at a picture like this and we can scroll through and see the changes, you can see that she's been aggressively volumized here. So it's not thread lift only. They may put some threads in there, but there's been a lot of filler or some kind of volume put in here as well. So it's not exactly a fair kind of representation. And the other thing that I'll point out is, like I mentioned before, she's really volumized down here and looks heavy. And I don't think that this is a really beautiful result. You can see her cheekbones look, although she looks emaciated, her cheekbones look higher here and kind of heavier or fatter here. So whole other discussion, but it goes into more of aesthetic facial balancing discussion. But I think aesthetic goals are kind of off for most of these things. This is not my kind of aesthetic goal. And then if you look around, you can spend some time looking, you're not going to find a thread lift result that you look and you say, oh, that looks great. And at least I haven't.
What is a mini facelift?
So a mini facelift, there's lots of different variations, but technically a mini facelift means you're going to make a facelift incision around the ear, do some skin dissection, and not do much else. So mini facelifts are nothing new. They come and go in popularity, and when certain trade names get promoted, there's kind of a resurgence of them. But in general, what happens is mini facelifts or instant facelifts are usually marketed little procedures that companies train non-plastic surgeons to perform a variation of a facelift. So all facelifts involve a similar incision, kind of around the ear, hidden in the ear. The incision's really well tolerated in patients. The hair is covering it there, but you can see the incision is not visible in facelifts, and we have a couple more facelifts here. The incision is hidden inside the ear, and then we all start out with these wrinkles in front of the ear, so the incision's hidden there. If you do it right and you support the lobule, you get a very non-surgical result. So part of the key of a natural looking facelift is how you manage that and how you manage tension. So if you do a mini facelift or a skin-only facelift, the tension is not managed deep. So you get some pulling usually, it's called pixie ear deformity, when the lobule gets pulled forward. And the scars are usually unsightly from mini lifts, mostly because it's done by probably not well-trained people, and secondarily, tension is not managed. That's why I do a deep plane composite facelift, where I move the ligament so I can support the face from here, and there's zero tension around the incision sites.